Tess Adar, Thursday the 5th of March, Rabbi Amram Nemeth, Hagolas Kalim, Part 2.
Too confident to say part 2 or 3, just in case. You've got to just keep it open. But just a brishos, my father, and Dudley, hopefully. 2 weeks ago when I spoke here, I was on holiday, so it was okay for me to come. And now in work, so that means I'm paid already from 8:30 in the morning. So part of what I do, I teach part of the day in... I work for Rabbi Levi in Maida Vale, so part I teach in Naima JPS, and I work for the Montefiore Endowment, which they give shiurim there. So the deal is, if I do leave in the hours, I have going to mention some sort of connection to Montefiore itself, and to make it sort of in memory of him, and to teach people about him. That's when I can go to give lunch and learns in these various shiurim. So a few weeks ago I was off, but now you'll have to give me a few minutes just to speak a bit about him. Just otherwise I'll be stealing from anyone, and that wouldn't be recommended. I'll just speak for 2 minutes. It started in Ramsgate, about in the 19th century, when Montefiore travelled to Eretz Yisrael a few times, and he allegedly forged a close connection with Rabbi Shmuel Salant, and he influenced him to be more Makir Torah, and to be more Makir Torah learning, maybe for learning's sake itself. And people say that he met him in Damascus, and they were staying in a house together, and Shmuel Salant was on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and Montefiore was on the way to save the Yidden from the blood libel there, and Montefiore was trying to stay up on a Hashanah Rabbah night, because he didn't understand the difference. He didn't understand that if you would be worked on behalf of the Kehillah, Hashanah Rabbah night is not the be-all, end-all for you. And Shmuel Salant told him, it's okay, you can go to sleep. So from then, a close friendship was forged. So if you tell someone to sleep, then generally speaking, they're going to form a close friendship with you. And then afterwards, they moved on to... He created the Koilel in Ramsgate, which is just on the seafront in Honeysuckle Lane, if you've been there. And they advertised in Europe for people, if they're fed up with their Rabbanus jobs, they can come and have a lamp and a book, and they can just learn and learn and learn. But it wasn't always such an easy relationship, because the person who ran it was Dr. Lowy, and I think he had a very rigid timetable. He made them get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do Tikkun Chatzos. Now we're only makbid on Tikkun Chatzos, not the 5 o'clock. They're right? The Koilel had its times, its ups and downs. And but about 15 years ago, Rabbi Levi, together with a few other trustees, they sold off a few of the manuscripts that other trustees had bought over the years of various Rishonim from 600-700 years ago, and they invested that money, and therefore today we give shiur. We have a smicha course, or the honors course, the various other programs that we do, which is where I am as well. But and this year should hopefully be in memory of him as well.
Amen.
Now, we discussed last time that we discussed glass, and we discussed the difference between that and the regular stovetop. So we discussed that a regular stovetop was okay for various reasons. We're not going to go back to there. And we discussed the glass stovetop doesn't have the same heterim as the other stovetops. We discussed why for about half an hour. Now, the problem will therefore be, what does someone do with it if they have in their house a glass stovetop on Pesach and in the rest of the year, if they're living in a trefer apartment, if they're renting from someone that had a non-kosher kitchen? So I would split it into two. There's an induction stovetop, and there's a regular electric stovetop, which is a halogen red, which gets red hot below. And I think the Haggadah for these two are completely separate. And I appreciate Rebbe Rafal Goldblatt for also advising in these sugars with me over the past few weeks. So I would split the two of them. There's an induction, and there's also, together with that, you have a regular red hot stove. And an induction, excuse the physics, I don't really understand it properly, but the stovetop itself doesn't get hot. There's a magnetic connection that's forged when you put the pot onto the stove that somehow manages to transfer heat or causes the particles to heat up without heating the stove. So what you have is, you have below some sort of device that makes the pot hot without the stovetop getting hot. That's the basic understanding that I have. You've got the pot, which is boiling hot, but the actual stove stays cool-ish, or definitely not boiling most of the time. It's definitely not, I know there are various times that it would get quite warm, but it's definitely not a boiling one. So these inductions generally have made a big difference halakhically across the board, because you have, for example, in Naima, in the school where we are, they renovated, they bought a whole new kitchen in, and they wanted to save energy, which is what these induction stoves generally do, because they're energy saving, and they put a whole massive stove across it. And the problem was that we used to light the fires for them in the morning, Well, good luck to their lunch today. I don't know what's going to be. But we used to light the fires for them. And then obviously there's various hatayim of Bishul Akum that the goy can carry on and take the fire, put on and off. There are various chumras and differences. But the question was, the induction stove was every time you put the pot on, it creates a connection and a new kind of heating. So the fact that you've turned it on in the morning does nothing to the cooking that she may do at 11 o'clock when she puts a pot on. And there are various heterim in it, and most of the Bati Dinim here say that's still going to be considered Bishul Akum, where there's Star K in America, and Moshe Hyman says that's so far removed from Aish that it's not even considered to be Bishul Akum at all. You can ask a non-Jew to put pots on that fire, and it's not considered Bishul Akum, which wasn't the mainstream view, at least in England anyway. They make a difference to Shabbos, but it makes a difference to Kashrus as well. So how do you kosher it? How do you make a kosher for Pesach, and how do you make a kosher for the rest of the year? You've used it potentially for treif, or you've used it for chametz. Those are the two that we split up in the last year. There's always got to consider what you do the rest of the year, and what you do specifically on Pesach itself. So there's a basic pasuk that everyone understands. In Bamidbar, after they conquered the Kli Midian, after Klal Yisrael conquered, they brought loads of Canaan back to their camp. So Al-Idei Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed them how to purge them and how to make them kosher. Kol dava asher yovah be'esh taviru v'chol asher lo yovah taviru b'mayim. There's fire and there's water. If it absorbs through fire, you've got to take it out through fire. If it absorbs through water, you take it out through water. Absorb through water generally means that there was water, that was the medium that put this issa into the pot. Absorbed through fire means there was no medium of water at all. It was just the tray for meat or the tray for bread and some sort of maybe covering and then the fire. Or roasting itself, which is, it has a direct access to the fire. Absorbed through water means that there's water which is entering into this pot with the issa inside, or even if it's issa itself. Absorbed through fire means it was dry. And the dry substance itself entered into the pot with means of the fire. Of course, it's the fire doing both, which is always confusing. It's the fire, which is the heat, that's somehow putting the taste inside. However, there's a difference. The pasuk, this is already from the Torah itself. Later we'll get more specific. The Torah says, if when the fire was cooking this pot, there was a watery substance inside, you consider that to be, say Chazal, an entering into the pot through water. And therefore it should come out through boiling hot water. If there was no medium of water in between at all, if there was just a dry substance and then the pot, it's called Yavo Ba'esh. Is everyone happy with that?
Yeah.
That's the basic understanding of it. It's a bit confusing because they're both fire. And that's what you could, the Prima God have discussed a lot in Tafnun and Aleph. But at the end of the day, if there's a watery substance going in, it comes out with the watery substance. If there's a dry substance going in, it comes out through dry. So the question over here is, how is this substance going into this induction stove at all? There's nothing hot. There's nothing boiling. What is it? How is the hot food ever entering into the glass of the stove? With what? Because it doesn't come from underneath like a regular cooking, because there's no fire there. There was a connection, there was some sort of connection that was formed underneath with this magnetic coil that caused the pot to get hot itself, and that caused all the contents of the pot to get hot. But you can't consider, presumably, the bottom bit to be a fire, because it's not. It's the pot that's getting hot. So what's becoming treif over here, and how are you kushering that?
Can you put your hand on it? I mean,
it's warmish. It's warmish. It's not generally not Yatzeledes, boy. It's definitely nowhere near a libum, right? It's not sparks flying from it. That's like millions of miles.
If the contents of the pot are boiling, surely the area underneath it is also going to be that hot.
Yeah, but it's not a conductive electricity. But somehow they've arranged that. And I'm not so clear on how that works, but it's warm, even when you move it off.
You could lift the pot and
Your
hand on it.
You generally put your hand. It's definitely not Yatta Levis boy, right? It may be warmer. It doesn't always work, 100%. But I mean, correct. If anyone has one of these at home, I've tried it. When I had one in the school, I tried with my hand thing. It's warm. Because of all these shilas, I was interested to know, but it's warm. So the way it goes is, you've got this reaction below that causes the contents of the pot to heat and become boiling very, very quickly. It's an energy-saving device. But that is not, the actual ceramic is not a conductor. So that remains warm and there's no fire. So how on earth does that gotta work, and how did anything go in? Is everyone with me so far?
How does it become treif?
How does it become treif? So it becomes treif because something spilt over.
It's cooked, but
right, let's say you were cooking some treifa soup, or you were cooking some treifa chelev, you were cooking treifa yayin neset, or you were cooking meat that's non-kosher with sauce, and that overflowed onto the stove. That was boiling hot. That went in. Similar to all your surface counters in your kitchen before Pesach, most people are so machmeh to cover and to do Haggolah. People take Haggolah stones. People burn up their whole kitchen. Why? There's no fire below. Because you maybe took a chametz pot, put it over there, and it overflowed and therefore caused loads of chametz to be absorbed in. So that's point with an induction stove, as far as I understand, that's point number one, which we discussed last time. How does it go in? Well, it goes in because chametz or anything non-kasher has overflowed, that's boiling, and it's therefore settled onto the surface for maybe a few seconds, or maybe longer, and then it's permeated, because it's hot itself. So even though the surface is not hot, what's coming in is hot. So that's how it's going in. Okay, so how did it go in? Let's say soup often overflowed. So it's gone in, like the pasuk says, through water. We introduced kol davar she'yavo be'esh esh, mayim mayim. So where's the water here? Nothing's hot. No, that's not true. Because something is overflowing and thereby causing hot chametz to be absorbed in, or hot non-kosher food. Okay, so what do you need for water? Water. How does Haggolah of water work? Take a boiling hot pot, make it bubble on the fire, and put it inside. How are you going to do that here? How are you going to take your boiling hot pot and take your induction stove off? You may as well buy a new one. You've defeated the whole purpose. And there's definitely hefts of marubah. You're talking about hundreds of pounds. How are you going to do it? So now we come on to stage two. Stage one is the pasuk. The pasuk says, water, water, and fire, fire. Then the Gemara gets more specific. The Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah. Yorah Gedoyla Mai. How do you do Haggolah to a massive pot? You've got the rim that will never be covered with water. Toshama Dahu Duda Debe Rabbi Akiva. Ahadale Jadafma Delisha Apuma. He put some sort of sticky substance at the end. Umalia Maya. And he filled it with water. Va'arsacha. And he boiled it. Omar Rava, says Rava. Man Chakim Lameva Kihai Milsa. Who's so wise to do this? Ilav Rabbi Kavya de Gava Rabbi. If not for Rabbi Kavya, who was a great man. Kusava Kaboiloi Kach Poltoi. A term which is often used for Haggolah, but it's a specific term. Ma Boiloi Benit Soitzois, Af Poltoi Benit Soitzois. Just like this rim was never really put into another pot. What happened was it always got splashed. I'm going to do the Haggolah as well by sticking some glue on and arrange that it's splashed. And what the Gemara has done here, and what the Gemara does is in Pesachim, is broaden what it means to do Haggolah Ali Dei Mayim. We start off with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, water, water, fire, fire. We ask what to do with an induction stove. How does it come in? It's not hot. There's a reaction that makes the pot hot. It's warm, maybe hot. Definitely, as far as I understand, not a yatzah lettuce boy, even if it's on full. You're not turning a fire on, you're turning a magnetic reaction on, whatever that means. That causes the pot to be hot. So what do you do? That was stage two. We said, okay, it doesn't matter. It's not that that's getting hot, but there's also what's falling over is hot, like all your sideboards that you kasher for Pesach or cover. So how are you going to kasher that? Well, it's water. Take it into boiling hot water, but you can't. How are you going to take it off? But comes on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara in Pesachim says, Kabola Kach Poltoi. And that means within the boiling hot water that went in, there's different ways that they can go in. If you remember Hilchos Shabbos, which I'm sure everyone's familiar with, Hilchos Shabbos, you have a Kli Rishon on the fire. You have a Kli Rishon off the fire. You have an Iroi. Iroi means, like our case of induction, where boiling hot liquid is pouring onto something else that's cold below. So says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Pesachim, there's so many ways that substances can permeate through water. There's not just one. And whatever way it went in, that's the way it comes out. Now that term is used so often with Haggolah, but that's a specific term over here, and it's not, I don't think, what the Pasuk is referring to. The Pasuk says, water, water, heat, heat, fire, fire. How do you do water? So Chazal give you how to do it, according to Rashi and Avodah Zarah. Take a boiling hot pot, with boiling, bubbling water generally, and put it in. Fire, make sure the sparks come out of it, do a Libun Gomor, and then you're purged and you're clean. But what do you do when you can't? How are you going to take your induction pot off, And therefore, putting the boiling hot, you'll break everything. You'll ruin the whole of what we're trying to do with Hefsim Ruba. You're going to break everything. But that doesn't matter, says the Gemara, because it only ever went in through a splash. So get another boiling hot water and pour that on, and it will come out through a splash. And that's what it means according to Rabbi Kabbalah Kach Poltai. The Pasuk taught me the medium that it goes in has to be the medium that it comes out. The Gemara taught me that that medium could be more specific. How did it go in with boiling hot water? Was it boiling hot on the fire and you put the spoon inside? If so, when you kosher it, take a boiling hot pot, bubble it on the fire, and put a spoon inside. Was it maybe a pot that was removed from the fire? And therefore, it was a klirishon, but it's not on the fire anymore, and then you put a spoon inside, which became treif. When you kosher it, you could do the same. And with regards to us, with the iroi on your induction, when it poured over like that, that was pouring from a boiling hot pot. So all my Haggadah has to be, therefore, is pouring from a boiling hot pot. Is everyone with me?
Yeah.
I hope that's clear. If not, I'm happy to go over that. It took me a long time to understand that. But I think that's what it means. And that, therefore, you could do Haggadah with that. And therefore, with the rest of it, you're generally okay. Even in a treifa house, even in if you're renting a place which has an induction stove, that's what you can do. The maximum that ever happened, when nothing was heated from underneath, was that it poured. I'm going to get a boiling hot pot, and I'm going to then pour it all over, and it's purged, and it's clean, and it's ready for use for the rest of the year. And strictly speaking, for Pesach as well, if that's all you're stuck with, you come a minute before Yom Tov, and that's your stove, that's what you should do. However, on Pesach, we're more machmir, because maybe something like pasta or dry fell on. And if so, the Haggadah becomes more complicated. That's considered to be a davar gush. I don't want to get into it now because it's fairly complicated for now. There's something called Roiv Tashmish. And therefore, on Pesach, it's generally speaking better to still get the KLB, the advertised on the website, special covers for the induction stoves and for that you can cover for Pesach. You don't have to use them, akin to covering your grate with silver foil. So the KLBD and all the kashrus authorities in America as well, they have these special sort of slabs. They call them... I don't know, but my brother-in-law, he sells kitchens. I'm not trying to advertise. He lives in Switzerland, so no one's going to go there. But he's busy. When he sells his kitchens, he recommends the Yiddish clients, they should buy these for Yom Tov. Because even though, strictly speaking, you're okay, it's completely mutter. But however, since we're worried that maybe pasta fell on, and therefore your iroi wouldn't have been enough, we therefore take on, we ask you to maybe cover it slightly. But that's for induction. So far we've covered that induction on Pesach is okay just to pour it on. That's the halacha, number one. Number two, if you're stuck on Yom Tov and you didn't buy these things, you arrive somewhere a minute before Yom Tov, or it's completely impossible to you, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you're a b'di'eved, and therefore you're okay. And therefore you can use it by doing this Haggadah. Even though glass is not ideal, we said last time, but this is a b'di'eved situation, and therefore you're okay. That, and with the rest of the year, you're even okay l'chatchila. You could pour all the water on, and you're, even if the bli has come out, there'll be ein ben yoima, there's various colours, which is not the time now to do it because it takes too long, but it's halachically mutter. So on Pesach it's mutter, but do you ever try not? And the rest of the year, it's completely halachically mutter. That's stove number one, that's the induction.
Now you want to talk about treifas from time to time, how does that come into it?
Again?
Treifas you talk about.
Yeah, treifas as well.
I don't want the treifas in my...
Yeah, fair enough. I would probably agree. I don't think that's recommended. That's the whole idea of the shiur.
No, because it invented a barbecue.
No, but I mean, treifa. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Now, so you do Haggadah by taking it out. It's like every Haggadah works. Haggadah is a mitzvah according to the smak.
Yes.
Even they cooked pig on there for years on end in liquid.
I'm just trying to get it. At the end of the day, you were saying just pour boiling water on your stove.
Yeah.
Your ceramic.
Yes.
Glasses. Is it ceramic or is it glass?
Well, according to many possums say ceramic and glass can be treated as the same. If you go down that route that is different, then it's like a complete heresy, then you have a problem. You're right. According to most possible, you can rely on the fact that it is glass and therefore treat it as glass as something that doesn't generally, the pliers don't permeate, even if they do, it's like a metal that comes out. But if you're machmir, there's a room to be machmir as well and say, of course, you're 100% right. That there will be
granite called cheres.
What? Sorry?
Marble and granite called cheres.
Yeah. That's not... No, I think that's also a debate, as far as I remember, with King Lodim and Avonim and all these. But here, we were, for the purposes of this show, we're relying on many Paschim to say you could treat ceramic as glass, which will be the Mechatz Yitzchak we saw last time says that, with Pyrex.
It's boiling water. But that's how it got in the first place.
Right, that's what we were saying. Only with an induction, we said that. We split up the pasuk, which says water, water, and fire, and we said the specifics of that was specifically how it got in, which was pouring. Is everyone happy with that halacha? Can we move on to the second one?
Marble,
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember. Okay, number two. Number two is the electric stove, the halogen, the boiling hot one. So now you move into a completely different area because now your stove is becoming hot from underneath. There's a red hot fire substance which the Rama says in Hilcha Shabbos is considered to be fire. You've got, forget the induction, it's a completely different kettle of fish. You've got a glass or ceramic top. Underneath, you've got four red-hot heating elements below that are considered to be fire. So anything that's poured on those, anything at all, is considered to be absorbed with fire if it's dry. And if it's liquid, it's considered to be liquid. You've got four stoves. You've got a piece of glass on top. You've got a piece of glass on top. Potentially, you have liquid spilling on top. So it's like having a clearishon that's put onto the fire. Is everyone happy with that?
Almost.
Well, I'll just say that one more time.
Yeah, but if liquid is falling onto a red hot flame thing, getting burnt.
Not necessarily. I think Rabbi Belsky in America says that's what would happen. But it could be a very low, or it could be warm afterwards. Potentially, and they weren't so sure that the Hetem we said 2 weeks ago would apply to this one as well. But that's one sub, maybe to be Makel as well, yeah, 100%. But generally speaking, you've also got the bits in the middle either way to worry about on Yom Tov, which will never get the red hot, will never be burnt, and that we said last time the pots would go on it. I've just got a few minutes left, I just want to finish at least with one halacha. You know what? I'll just summarise very quickly. You have the glass on top. And on top of that, you have four halogen lights. Now, when something is pouring on that, or when dry substances are pouring on that, that's considered to be coming in with fire. It's not like an induction. So let it come out with fire. Okay? Different. We need fire now. Okay, where's going to be the fire? How did you live on Gomel? 900 degrees, you've got to make sure it burns. Okay, good luck doing that with that. It's going to crack. And I've seen various ways of people putting like paper... I mean, even that would be awesome because you're not allowed to do a Haggadah that would cause you to be concerned about the keli itself. So that's if you ask me, it's a joke to do that, to take paper and stick it on the end, see if it's burning. I don't know how that would... We learned the Ritzvah last time, you can't do that. What are you going to do to do a Haggadah to this? You moved into a house, you're renting for a couple of years, you go on holiday, and you've got this lovely glass stovetop, which is... Right, so how are you going to kasher it? You're going to burn it, there's fire below, it should come out with fire. How are you going to do that? You're going to take a blowtorch on it, you'll smash the whole thing. And you'll injure yourself in the process.
Switch it on, what do you do?
So what do you do? Well, if you switch it on, you're never going to get sparks flying from it. If you do, it's probably broken.
It's going to get as hot as it was when
the... So the only hatter for this, on Pesach, was we said stage one was the pasuk. We said stage two was how it went in with water. Was it clearishon? Was it iroi? It will come out. Can you apply that logic to fire as well? Can you say in the same temperature that the fire absorbed it, it will expel it too? And that the Minchas Yitzchak in a famous tshuva to die in Rappaport in London was maker with regards to ovens. But we said, the pasuk says water, water, and fire, fire. The pasuk says, how did it absorb with water? And was it a clearishon? Was it on the fire? Was it just off the fire? Was it a bit further? You could do Haggadah in the same medium that it went in within water. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and as far as I understand the Pesachim, never says that with fire. Maybe to purge fire, you always need to have 900 degrees with what most Paschim hold. You live on Kalis for when you would need Haggadah. There's a different kettle of fish. However, over here, you're going to need to spark it. You can't just turn it on. So what are you going to do? But according to the Michat Skitzchak, the same level of heat of fire that put it in can take it out too.
Yeah.
And therefore you'll be okay with your stovetop to turn it on full for, let's say, 15 minutes, make sure it's all red hot, and the same way it went in on the stove, the same way it went in the area just around it, it will be burnt out as well. And therefore, halachically, it will be mutter definitely the rest of the year to do that, plus pouring hot water in the middle bit, just in case it entered through that medium. You'd want to purge it through that as well. And therefore, the rest of the year, it will be mutter, and even if your pot does move over, there's so many other heterim the rest of the year. It's a einu ben yoimai, it's a kli le kli, maybe it's burnt its away. And therefore, the rest of the year, it will be mutter completely. Even if you move it to a glass stovetop, you turn it on full, and you make it boiling hot red, and then you pour water in the middle, and you're done. On Pesach, you've got the similar problems to the induction. But the evad, it's mutter. But the evad, you'll be okay. If you're stuck, and that's what you have to do, you'll lose loads of money, or presume if someone has just become from and they're struggling with it, I would say it's probably mutter. However, lechatchila, you should buy the same KOBD, or my brother-in-law, etc. You could buy the same tiles or whatever they're on top to stop you from touching anything on the surface, or any people are machmir for Pesach generally anyway. So just to summarize, because I've got like a minute left, we start off by saying water and fire. We gave a specific, and we said induction, there's no heat on it, but the heat comes on it. And since the heat comes on it, with water, everyone agrees, you do Hagolah in this exactly the same way, by pouring boiling hot water on it. And that's the Psak. Pesach, you should try and be Machmeh for specifically this way, because we're worried that maybe originally a Dova Gush fell on. That's number one. Number two, the way a ceramic regular hob with halogen, that works differently. There's heat coming not from above, but it's from below and potentially from above. So your Hagolah is more complicated. So you've got to burn it, because it maybe came in through fire, but you can't, because you'll smash it. And even if you've got a way out, the Ritzvah says that's a stupid thing to do, because you're never going to do Hagolah properly, because you'll be concerned to lose money. So even halachically, it's really, your Hagolah is not considered to work, even b'dieved, I think. So what are you going to do? So then you potentially have the Minchas Yitzchak to rely on, who wrote that just like with water, we say, did it go in with the Iroi, with pouring, did it go in with the Kli Rishon off the fire, so too I'll come out like that. Fire has various temperatures. And sparks were only needed where it went in through that temperature. But you can go lower as well. And therefore over here, you could turn it on, and as much, as hot as it was when the Bliya of Chometz or Treif came in, it will be that hot when it comes out. So turn it on for 15 minutes, I think is the time they give. Make it boiling hot red. Whatever this heat did originally, it will burn out again. And then you pour boiling hot water over the middle areas, just in case it came in through that medium. And that would be, as far as I understand, the halacha for an induction on Pesach and the rest of the year, and halacha for a regular ceramic on Pesach and the rest of the year. Shkoyah, thank you very much.